There we go. Okay, great. I'm assuming everyone started smoking in their teens, or most people started smoking in their teens like I did. It's the common thing. And the reason... Hi. And the reason for me starting to smoke is that my father was the only breadwinner in our house, and he smoked a little bit and he drank a little bit and he totally controlled the money. And so to me, in order to be an adult, I had to smoke and drink and have my own money. So I got a job as soon as I could at the age of less than 15, and where I could smoke and made money, and that was the beginning of my smoking career. And that lasted until I was about 23, and I suddenly realized, you know, I'm not that crazy about smoking and drinking. So I stopped drinking, and but the smoking wasn't that easy. I managed to quit for 24 hours, but I was so cranky and so miserable that my husband at the time said, please quit or start smoking again. You're so crabby, I can't stand you. Well, that was a very welcome excuse, and I was back at it, but I did continue to try and quit smoking forever after. For 30 years, I tried everything I could to stop smoking, and nothing worked. Until the 19th of August, 1998, I attended my first Nicotine Anonymous meeting. And it was an odd experience. It wasn't like most Nicotine Anonymous meetings are. It was run by two dry AA members who had not quit smoking, but they knew that the 12 steps worked, and so they started a Nicotine Anonymous meeting in the hopes that they would be able to quit. Well, they couldn't quit, and they were quite crabby. And I excitedly told them my story of my terrible smoking, and, you know, every nicotine addict thinks that their smoking story is unique. Well, our smoking stories really aren't unique. We all just get hooked and we stay hooked. And that night, the three of us walked out of that church basement, and all of us lit up a cigarette and got in our separate cars and drove home. But when I got home, I started reading all the materials, the books and the pamphlets that I had purchased or been given at the Nicotine Anonymous meeting. This was in Edmonton, Alberta. I'm a Canadian. And lo and behold, that night, as I was sitting there smoking and reading the brochures and the book, I realized it was over. My years of being a nicotine addict were over. And I went out to the backyard and I burnt all my cartons of cigarettes and my matches, and I threw out my ashtrays, and that was the end of it. And I know that I was given a gift from the guy upstairs that night. And that gift has lasted more than 14 years. And I know it will last the rest of my life because I am so grateful. So very, very grateful to this organization for giving me the support I needed to quit smoking. And a week later, I attended that same Nicotine Anonymous meeting and bounced into the room and probably bellered, guess what? I haven't had a cigarette for a week. Well, much to my dismay, I was greeted with, you're supposed to be humble. Oops. So I tried very hard to be humble, but 2 weeks later, I came back to the meeting and said quietly, I still haven't quit smoking. And at that point, the women were totally disgusted with me, and they handed me the brochures and the books and the little bit of treasury, and they said, well, you run the meeting from now on. Well, I was overwhelmed. I had no idea how to run a Nicotine Anonymous meeting. But I contacted Nicotine Anonymous World Services, and Friday Checo, an email servant, wrote back to me, and he held my hand for weeks, teaching me how to run a Nicotine Anonymous meeting. And I did run that meeting for a year, and most of the time nobody came. But I did. I drove 35 miles each way every Thursday night to hold that meeting. And if no one came, I read the material. I practiced the slogans. And I prayed prayers of gratitude that I was free of the unbelievably terrible control that nicotine had held over my life for more than 30 years. And after a year, I moved to another city in Canada, and because I was so free of nicotine's control, it did not occur to me to start another Nicotine Anonymous meeting in Vancouver, BC, which I still feel bad about because Vancouver really is a city of many millions of people, and it really needed a Nicotine Anonymous meeting. And eventually I moved back to the Edmonton area and noticed that there was only one Nicotine Anonymous meeting, and it was on its last legs. It only had two members, and both of them were rather ill. And I could see that there was no point in joining it because it was not a flourishing group. So I started one on my own in 2003, and I led that group for 7 years till 2010. And quite frankly, when I stopped running that group, I did not think I was ever going to start another group, because so many of the people who quit smoking way too late in their lives, they either had really horrible operations that changed and devastated their lives, or they died. And they were my friends, and I did not feel I could keep watching people that I cared about die because of their smoking. And about 2010, I was asked to come to the Nicotine Anonymous World Services Conference, which is where I met Gary, P. Pick and Willie. And that year, he offered his name to be treasurer, and I offered my name to be secretary, and both of us have been on the World Services Elected Board for the last 3 years. But the job that I absolutely love the most is being an email servant. I have been an email servant since 2003. I'm known as Tuesday Gwen, and all the info gets sent to me on Tuesdays. Just like on Fridays they get sent to Checo, and on Mondays they get sent to Gary, etc. There's seven of us email servants, plus there's some translators for other languages. And that job is a real joy, to tell others that yes, there is an answer. You can beat this. And I particularly love to tell people how to start Nicotine Anonymous meetings. I helped others start many, many meetings, and I know how it's done. I know what works, what doesn't work, and I love to help people. And since I'm a writer, it's just natural for me to write letters, emails of encouragement. And of all things, my Nicotine Anonymous story even has romance in it. I met an American. His name is Andy, and he had smoked for 53 years. And that has left him now with some problems. But I wrote to him to encourage him to stay quit. And we ended up with a romance, and I came to visit him. And the reason I chose the name Emerald Queen is that we live on the Emerald Coast of the Panhandle of Florida. And I just love the Emerald Coast and its emerald water. And Andy has now been free of nicotine for 3 years, 14 years for me. I didn't think I'd ever start a nicotine group again because it's disheartening to see people not make it. But Andy wanted a group. He wanted the support group. And so we started another one in April. And although it's slow going to begin with, it's always worth it. Just like those two AA women who never managed to quit smoking, to my knowledge, they started a group, and that created a life being nicotine free for me. And right now we have one lady who started with our group almost when it started, when we started it in April, and she quit smoking forever, well, forever, I mean, she quit smoking on the 1st of June, and she says that she would never have made it this long if it hadn't been for us there every single Thursday. And so light a candle and don't hide it under a bushel. Share with others what this wonderful organization can do for you. What it's done for me, what it's done for my husband, what it's done for my friends. Because, you know, almost all of us started, 90% of us started smoking when we were teens. And we beat up on it ourselves for starting to smoke and continuing to smoke. But I'm a writer, and I did a lot of research on my smoking addiction because I'm a very strong-willed person, and I can discipline myself to do anything, but I couldn't discipline myself to stop smoking. And I researched the whole subject in order to get to the bottom of it, and it turns out that there's a reason why juvenile delinquents get a lesser sentence than adults, and that is that the frontal lobes of their brain have not fully developed until they're in their early 20s, and neither did yours or mine. And those frontal lobes, when they're fully developed, distinguish between right and wrong and wisdom and stupidity. And when we were in our teens, the frontal lobes weren't fully developed. And so consequently, those the habit developed when we were not yet fully formed as adults. And so don't beat yourself up because you started smoking and if you can't quit or you're having a hard time quitting. Everyone I know who's made it into their 20s without smoking doesn't smoke because their brains are fully formed. Anyway, I'm really happy to be part of this organization, and I know that I plan to be an email servant every night, every Tuesday night of the week for the rest of my life to give support to those who are addicts. I call myself a recovered addict. Andy still calls himself a recovering addict. And you can choose whatever word you want, but we are addicts. And it's only because of the grace of the man upstairs that we're free today, or will be free tomorrow. Thanks, everybody.
Whoops, here goes my mic. Okay, Lisa, recovering nicotine addict. Thank you for that wonderful, short, sweet, to the point, and full of wisdom share. I really enjoyed it. You might be hearing from me because we have a lack of face-to-facers in this area.